Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. This episode, we talk about the roots of the Hardware Asylum Podcast from when it started at Ninja Lane till now. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McCain. One of the interesting things about not having a dedicated studio is that I find myself sitting in a high chair right now.
A high chair. That's not a high chair.
It's a chair that's high.
All right, I'll give you that.
And it spins.
It's a stool.
Breakfast stool or something like that.
We are sitting at a breakfast nook, I guess is what you'd call this.
No, this is more like, it's a counter.
A counter.
Breakfast counter.
Breakfast bar, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is not our normal digs.
No, it is not
the Hardware Asylum Labs or the Hardware Asylum Annex or the Hardware Asylum anything.
No, it's not. It's not even the Hardware Asylum Building 2. If you haven't quite followed what we are talking about, the Hardware Asylum podcast for the past 6.5 years, almost 7 years, oh my gosh, has been recorded in Hardware Asylum Building 2 or Ninja Lane Building 2, a.k.a. my garage.
So to paint a picture of that for those of you that haven't been following us, and why haven't you been following us?
Come on, follow.
Dennis has a studio / work center set up in his garage where we initially started, and then we gradually moved to a more table-esque environment, and we've posted pictures of that before.
Yeah, the original podcast. We can talk about that a little bit.
Let's do.
So we had, famously, the Asus Slate.
That's right.
I love that thing, and it's too bad that it kind of sucks now. But yeah, it was basically a tablet computer that ran Windows. You had a little stylus and everything, and it was pretty awesome until it wasn't awesome. But
well, it's just dated. I mean, it's still a great machine. I mean, similar to my Windows Pro tablet there, the Surface Pro that I still use fairly regularly. But it's first gen. It's old school.
It is old school. But it was awesome, and it was portable. And the idea behind that was that it didn't make a lot of noise. So I could plug the Blue Yeti, which was our USB microphone at the time, into that device and have it record directly into Audacity, which is the DAW or audio editor that we've used since the beginning.
Now hold on. I'm not known for having the best memory, but I'm pretty sure that we started on a Snowball and then moved to a Yeti.
No. You wanted to use the Snowball because of somebody at Micron that had one that said it was the most awesome microphone
ever.
The
Snowball.
No, we didn't have a Snowball.
And the Snowball wasn't good enough, so you had to have a Yeti?
Okay.
That seems appropriate.
It is. Really? Okay.
It's the extreme edition of the Yeti.
Yeah.
Or Snowball or something.
No, it's the lesser edition of the Yeti. So, in any event, the Yeti is a standard USB microphone. But it has three capsules in the top that allow you to dial in to do like an interview mode or at a 360-degree mode or just a karaoke mode, whatever, where you're just talking directly into it. So it allowed you to dial in, and it uses those three capsules to equalize the sound. A pretty awesome microphone, really.
And I should point out that microphone still gets fairly regular use for me as my dedicated microphone when I am gaming with my clan. So my clanmates that are out there, my ego crew. If you heard me use that microphone, you've definitely commented that I sound a little different, but not bad, and that's why.
And believe it or not, a lot of Twitch streamers use the Blue Yeti because it's easy to use. It's a USB, it just plugs in, and it works. It doesn't require drivers, any of that stuff. And speaking of memory, the very, very first episode, podcast episode ever.
Episode one,
and if you go to Hardware Asylum and trick through all the podcast episodes and get past the Hardware Asylum ones into the Ninja Lane ones, you will find that the episode that's there is episode 2.
How is that possible?
Well, episode 1 was so terrible because we recorded it on my USB webcam in my office, and it was bad. But it was episode 1.
Episode 1, Lost in Time.
And it's uploaded to Hardware Asylum. And if you know how to get there, you can listen to it.
Now, that's almost an Easter egg. I feel like we should give something away if people can find that. Maybe when we get to our actual 7-year anniversary, you can prep now and try to find that bad boy out there.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. So, anyway, when we first started recording, it was I was really conscientious of setting up like a studio. So I had some foam panels that I set up behind us to kind of stop the microphone bleed, because the one bad thing about the Yeti is that it recorded everything. Like, it would record cars driving by and helicopters flying overhead, and little crickets outside, and whenever we shuffled our feet on the floor, it was terrible.
So we have better mics now.
They have better mics now, yeah. But yeah, back then it was like Yeti mic on a cloth, yeah, on a board, on 2 5-gallon buckets.
I forgot about the buckets. We didn't have a table.
We didn't have a table. And then we had like two chairs across from each other, and we just did interview mode back and forth. And if you listen to some of the old episodes that are labeled the Ninja Lane podcast, you'll hear a definite echo from that sort of situation.
Yeah, and I would say even a little bit flat. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. Well, the nice thing about podcasting in general is there really isn't a negative to when you start, because you're going to have constant improvement. You'll learn as you go. In fact, we are still learning stuff all the time.
Yeah, like how to record in different locations.
We have much better equipment these days through the continuous process of improvement. But if we pause for just a second, just give us a moment of silence. There it is in the background. Maybe you can hear a clock ticking.
There might be a clock. However, with these microphones that I have, which are the Rode Procasters, XLR broadcast quality microphones, they're a dynamic microphone instead of an active microphone. They require a lot more power to run, and we really have to talk into the microphone to have our voice be captured.
So that's a good point. When we first started out, we didn't have an amplifier or a dedicated sound processing device. As you mentioned, episode one, Lost in Time, was actually done through the USB webcam, and it was really just kind of a proof of concept for us back in those days. Mm-hmm. And then we quickly advanced to the Yeti, and the Yeti...
Yeti stayed with us for a long, long time.
And the Yeti was self-powered, so it was just plugged directly into the PC through the USB, and it didn't require much, well, even any software really to run it. No amplification, it was all self-contained. Another great reason that it makes a fantastic entry-level podcast microphone.
The reason I picked it instead of the Snowball was, one, because it offered the interview mode, and that was actually one of the modes you could program into the Yeti, so that you could have two people talking on the same microphone.
Right.
Because some people may know this, some people may not. USB devices tend to hog the USB interface. So if you have two USB microphones plugged into a computer, you can only use one of them at a time. You can't use more than one.
Well, some of that is a Windows limitation too, as opposed to having an external processing device.
Yeah, it's true. Like if you use OBS, you can access two USB devices because you can get your USB webcam, which has audio, and then a microphone that has audio, and you can blend those two together. But, you know, this is a podcast. We're just trying to record audio here, and I didn't want to have too many layers of something to break. So, you know, the Yeti made a nice... compromise.
So you've already mentioned that we upgraded to the Rode mics. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth talking about. That wasn't, you know, we're not in what was our next step up from that, although mostly because we had envisioned different microphone mounts at the time. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out either. And so we are using, what are these stands here that we're using?
Oh, these are some things that I got at the Guitar Tent. Ugh. The Guitar Center. These are microphone stands for a kick drum.
And that's kind of interesting. And now that you mention it, I can see that. Mm-hmm. So telescopic, and they hold these Rode mics. And I think that it's worth mentioning, because we haven't talked a lot about this except for when we first upgraded. Why did we choose these mics? I know there was some reason behind it.
Well, I wanted a dynamic microphone. And by dynamic microphone, I wanted something that would block stray sounds, because we were recording in the garage. You know, building two. I say building two because it sounds more fancy and it seems more professional, but it really was a garage and it was untreated. The walls were insulated. The garage door that rolled up and down was insulated, but you could hear cars driving by. And if we started recording at like 7 at night, there was people still coming home from work. Flames would be flying over. Air conditioner might kick on. There was a lot of background noise. And with the Rode Procasters, being a dynamic microphone, it requires you to talk directly into the top of it and be really close because it is, I should say, not very sensitive.
Well, which is the advantage, and hopefully that means that you don't pick up all the peaks and snaps and lip smacking and
throat clearing
and all the stuff that we try to make go away in the finished product.
Yeah, but like for instance, if I'm talking to the microphone right now and then I get up off of my stool or chair or whatever this thing is, right? And then I
swivel,
talk,
just swivel.
Yeah, I talk back by the wall, right?
There he goes.
I'm going.
He's going.
I'm going back here. You can probably barely hear me. Whereas right? If I had the Yeti, it'd be like I was still right next to it.
This is like a Sesame Street episode, near
and far.
Yeah, a nice upgrade there. And that's the microphone we've lived at today. So only a couple generations if you count our original attempt there on the microphones. And I feel like it was a good investment. But to make that work, we needed to include upgrades to some of our other devices. So let's take the step to talk about Scarlett there.
Oh, yeah. So obviously an XLR-based microphone.
Sweet. What's XLR, dude?
I was getting to that.
Okay, go.
Okay, so like the Blue Yeti's USB interface. You can get a Blue Yeti that has an XLR interface. And XLR is the connection type that goes to the microphone. And you might know exactly what it is, but basically it's a cable. And it takes the professional microphone signal that's coming off of it, and it has to be interpreted somehow.
Interpolated,
yes.
And it's a balanced input, I think.
Yeah, it's a balanced input.
And that means something.
And it's daisy chainable, and you can, you know, basically if you go to a rock concert, all the microphones are going to be XLR. If you go to any sort of a studio, all the microphones are XLR. That's just how they
work. Why not a standard microphone input?
Well, there's no standard microphone input.
There is on your sound card, on your PC.
Oh, you're talking about like the 3.5 millimeter plug?
Yeah, everybody has one of those.
Those are analog. Actually, these are analog too.
But
they're not balanced.
They're not balanced, not filtered, no gain, no amplification. Mm-mm. All things that are very important to make your good microphone sound good all the way through. So I mentioned it already, but what is this amp that we're using?
It's not an amp.
It's a
audio interface is the technical term for this.
And more common terms, it's a preprocessor.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Uh-huh.
So basically, the Focusrite Scarlett 6i6 is what we're using. And we've talked about this in the previous podcast where we were talking about, actually, it was when we upgraded everything. But the Scarlett goes and takes the XLR inputs from the microphone, or the outputs from the microphone into an input, and translates those signals into something that can be transmitted over USB into the computer, or it can be redistributed into a variety of outputs, including MIDI, RCA, and you know the big quarter-inch jacks that go into professional amplifiers.
The big guys.
Yes. So it's an audio interface. It basically converts the XLR signals into something else.
So the Focusrite Scarlett is not our first amplifier either.
Yes, it is.
What?
It is. And I think what you're thinking of is I had the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2.
Ah, yes, that is what I'm thinking of.
And that was a self-powered, so it was powered off of the USB power. And that didn't provide enough oomph to power the XLR dynamic microphones. Had I had an active microphone that would require the 24-volt phantom power, basically they require voltage from the audio interface to power the microphone, they would have worked great. But in this case, I upgraded to the 6i6 because it came with a power brick. And that power brick allowed it to power the onboard headphone amplifier so we can power things like your crazy Sennheisers that you have through an audio interface amplifier thing. It's crazy. You'll have to check the Facebook page because I posted a picture of our recording setup tonight where I have the podcast machine with the Focusrite on top of it, our Rode Procasters in the background, and then a cable coming out of the headphone into his amplifier, which is, what is this again?
I think you might be getting ahead of yourself, but let's talk about it because this is not normal.
No.
So a couple of podcasts back, we did an open box experience on the Cavelli Tube Hybrid Amp, which is a a tube amp that I had purchased. And because, and we kind of hadn't really talked about this, our remote location is actually at my place. So I thought, since we were going to try to record over here, just mostly for a change of pace, that it's an opportunity to pull out some of my audio gear and Frankenstein it into the system just for fun. Now, of course, all of this is downstream from what you're hearing, so you don't get to have the advantage or disadvantage, maybe, of hearing all these other random pieces that I've Frankensteined in. But tonight, we are using a headphone to RCA adapter to run the Cavelli Tube Hybrid, which is a fantastic entry-level tube hybrid amplifier that is a Mastrop exclusive. We like to talk Mastrop, one of my favorite places to get gear. And it is running. I'm going to take them off for a second. It is running the Hi-Fi Man HE560 headphones. For me, which is not my standard headphones either, and we haven't really talked about headphones.
No, we haven't, but just to put it into perspective, you know, obviously we're recording at Darren's house. He has all this cool stuff. He just didn't want to wear the Shure 450s that he normally wears
when we're recording at my place. They're so much smaller. And, you know, if you have the gear, then use the gear. So the 560s used to be the flagship Hi-Fi Man, and they're planar magnetic headphones. So it's a different technology. We've talked about that, I think, also in previous podcasts, as with the Cavelli Tube Hybrid Amp. So definitely worth spunking back, not too far even, because these are fairly new products for me. And I had intended to listen on my Sennheiser 6XX headphones, but the lure of the tube hybrid amp was strong. So that being said, let's talk a little bit about headphones, because we talked about this a little bit off there when I was dinking around with what I was going to run tonight. But we also started with some pretty pedestrian headphones back in the day. I guess if you go to episode zero, no headphones at all, really. But you can't do a podcast without headphones. And we did actually try even at one point to do headphones with mics built into them, didn't we? I thought we experimented with that. I don't know if we ever cut an episode.
No, because, well, the headphones were USB-based. And if you had the splitter, so you could have two of them going into one, only it canceled each other out. It was just terrible.
Not so good. So we learned fairly quickly the benefit of breaking that out, which is how we ended up with separate microphones and headphones in the first place. So Dennis, of course, is the headphone purchaser for the podcast, and I am just a little bit of a, I don't know, headphone snob addict, entry-level audiophile, depending on what your budget is versus mine. It's probably one of those things, but I find, and we've talked about this a lot, that I tend to, when I'm using a computer for gaming, wear headphones, and I have some pretty great audio equipment for watching movies and stuff. But for some reason, when I started using good headphones for gaming, I just never went back to using external speakers.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you go down that track, you tend to acquire a lot and a lot of different headphones, because as we've noticed with the podcast, the Shure 450s used to be my headphones.
Yes.
And I can't remember which ones you wore. You might have brought some over, to be honest.
I want to say they were repurposed gaming headphones, and I was trying to remember which ones they were, too.
Yeah. So, any event, for Christmas, I got myself some. I'm going to have to take them off my head now, but I've had these forever. They are the Pioneer HJC2000s or something like that. They're a DJ headphone.
Yeah, and we've had really good success with DJ headphones for the most part. And the Shure headphones kind of fit into that entry level or maybe even studio level headphone.
Yeah, they're a studio level headphone. And when I was looking for upgrades for the 450 before I got these ones, I went to the Guitar Center because it's local and they're pretty much the only place you can get high-end audio around here. They were trying to put me into a Behr Dynamic.
Ooh, now, you know, I like the Behrs. They're a competitor to the Hi-Fi Man, and they have a great reputation for producing some premium speakers, but they are also very famous for their studio headphones, particularly their closed-back headphones.
Yeah, and I think that's what they were trying to put me into, and at the time, I didn't like them because the ear cups on them were huge. It was like, you know, you were an elephant trying to wear headphones or something like that, and coming to find out, they're big for a reason, because they give you a better spatial sound instead of having a speaker directly on your ear. It gives you some gap in between the speaker and whatnot. So it sounds better.
So now I feel like I look like an elephant over here.
No, you don't.
See how you are? Yeah, because these are really large, actually.
Yeah, well, the bears seem large. Well, especially compared to some, like the 450s, for instance, mm-hmm. the ear cups are really small.
Yes. So,
yeah. But headphones aside, you know, you need to have a good set of headphones to monitor your speech, partially so you can tell if you're too far away from the microphone or if you're too close. That way you can hear and make adjustments as you're talking.
Well, and to be fair, you can fix a lot of that with software, but it's just better to start with a high quality recording.
Yes. And in terms of recording, we use
Audacity.
Audacity.
We love Audacity.
It's free.
It's free.
I've been using Audacity for years, and this is the first time ever that I felt bad about not donating.
Oh.
I should do that.
Just now. We do. We use this for years, and we've used many varieties of it, and some have strengths and some have weaknesses, but we've always found that when we've explored other alternatives, even some very spendy ones.
Yeah, kind of like the Magix, was it SoundForge Pro 11?
Yes.
Which is very similar to Audacity. It's single track recording, which is what Audacity does. The interface is just weird and unintuitive to the point where, you know, Audacity just seems easy. But again, that's partially because we've used it for so long.
Yeah, that's true. We're very used to it. And we know what some of the little goodies do, like the compressor. So we have the ability to do sound processing. We've gotten better at that over the years, too. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that to me is most obvious when I go back and listen to the old ones.
That's actually a very good point, because with the Blue Yeti, it had one microphone, so it had one audio source. So you were on one side of the microphone, I was on the other, and everything got mixed down into a single stereo track. And editing that is difficult because you can't separate the different voice tracks. With the two microphones going into the Focusrite, when it gets recorded into Audacity, I'm actually on track left. Yeah, I'm on left. Darren's on track right. But when you hear it through the magic of the internet on an MP3 from hardwaresound.com/podcast, hint, hint, it's all mixed together into a stereo track because of the way we mix it.
So some great advantages to that, the most common of which is when one of us is talking, the other of us can be drinking a beer, you know, having a cough, whatever, and you can edit out that single channel without affecting who's talking. As Dennis just had a beer right there and you probably couldn't even tell. This podcast is sponsored by Mad Swede.
not really, by the way.
If only. But the reality is that the big difference, and to me, maybe even the biggest difference in the sound quality, was the ability to uniquely edit the tracks and to bounce them individually. So a little bit of podcast trivia. For the longest time, I edited the podcasts, and I got pretty good at it. And then Dennis took that over because I just had some issues with my life that took that time away from me. Mm-hmm. And so I taught Dennis what I know, and now he has gone on to build on that. And so we've had a continuous cycle of improvement that almost matches the continuous improvement of the Audacity software suite.
Yes.
So we can't claim credit to all the improvement in our podcast since episode 2. Some of that is just the advances in the equipment and the software, but some of it is just educating ourselves on what the software does.
Let's talk about the future of the podcast.
The future, yeah. So we've talked a lot about the equipment, but we're always talking about new improvements. And I think the one that most often comes up, just to start us off, is I think some of my headphone addiction is starting to wear off because mm-hmm. I think that Dennis has been talking about upgrading the headphones again.
Yes, I am looking, believe it or not, at some new Behr Dynamics, the 1900 series. They're expensive. They should sound awesome. I have yet to try them out.
And the reality is that because that doesn't have a direct effect on what you're hearing, it's been hard for us to make that a priority because really we're focused on the end product. Mm-hmm. But we sure like it to sound good for us, especially when we wear these headphones for sometimes a whole evening. And you guys are only getting, about an hour and a half of it.
Yeah. Well, that's if you listen to the entire month's worth of podcast.
Uh-huh.
But the part that would directly impact the end user is the connection between the microphone and the computer. And while we were talking about the Focusrite Sapphire 6i6 as being this awesome audio interface, there is a better one.
There's always a better one.
There's a better one. And recently, Focusrite, I'm going to say that they followed the Apple model for a lot of things, where they had the, I don't know, the Schluff gear or whatever you want to call it.
Entry level.
That was available on USB. And that would include the Focusrite Sapphire and some of the other lower end editions. But then they had the high end Claret that was always on a Thunderbolt connection.
Oh, interesting.
But when USB 2.0 for the Sapphire 6i6, the speed was not enough. So they had the Claret, which the higher quality audio with, you know, the amount of data that needed to go across, it was on Thunderbolt. Unfortunately, unless you had Thunderbolt in your PC, which not many people
who
did.
Does? Who Apple does? Apple people.
Well, Gigabyte did for a long time, I guess. But it was mostly Apple. Recently, they upgraded their Claret interface to support USB 3.0.
Ooh.
And so now I should be able to upgrade to that new audio interface. And the benefits there are basically higher frequency response, which may or may not benefit the Rode Procasters because of microphone limitations, if you will, specifications. But it will also expand the range, the vocal range of what can be interpreted by those microphones. So you have a few more options, as we've talked about a lot, with the way that the audio is interpreted by the computer as it's being recorded.
So possibly a new Focusrite, possibly new headphones. But Dennis, I am also aware that we've experimented with wireless.
Wireless?
Yeah.
We have?
We have. So I should point out that we have been exploring recording video, or at least recording us recording the podcast in video.
Oh, yeah.
As an opportunity to maybe expand in a couple of different directions. And so that was one of our first opportunities to head that direction. Mm-hmm. Not something that we've really explored as deeply as we probably should. But actually, wireless mics gives us the opportunity to work with cameras and not have the cords in the way while we're moving around doing builds and showing some of the custom work that we do.
And back, I want to say it was like episode in the teens, we decided to broadcast on, I think it was on live stream.
Yeah, we did it live.
We did live and...
And live chat during the podcast.
And Darren was distracted.
It was awesome.
Entire time. He was like, hey, they're talking. And he would... And then we... Instead of recording for 45 minutes, we recorded it for 3 hours and still didn't get enough done.
It was awesome.
It was pretty darn cool.
But it wasn't very effective.
It was not very effective, no.
Talk about the future of Hardware Asylum, we are exploring always increasing our podcast so that we can give you the best quality possible. I think at the end of the day, I hope this has given you some insight, again, pulling back the curtain on the podcast and giving you just a little bit more about what we do and why we do it. And we hope you come back again.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS, follow us on Twitter, or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2018. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining the Hardware Podcast Asylum. Send money.